we're back.
We are back. Three truths and a slide in the pod. I am one of your co-hosts, Aaron Schaefer, and I'm here through the magic of TCPIP protocols online, Kristen Froberg. How's it going, Kristen?
It's going really well. I don't know what those are, but yes, they are magic. I assume they have something to do with our equipment, our very high-tech, state-of-the-art equipment.
They are internet things yeah. on the internet. So,
and also our computers are on the internet. So,
welcome, Generation S. We are Three Truths and a Slide, and we go through the TV show Sliders one episode at a time, and we do it by me telling Kristen three truths and a lie about each upcoming episode, and she tries to figure out how silly of a liar I am.
Yeah, so, each week we wait excitedly to see if I'm going to bring my flop era to an end. Stay tuned, folks.
So we are coming up on this next episode of season 2, episode 9, and it is titled Obsession, which was the B-roll title that we were having for our podcast. We considered calling it Obsession.
Ooh.
And
isn't there a perfume called Obsession with like a very 90s commercial? Anyway, Obsession. Okay, a good solid episode title.
Yes.
I'm wondering what kind of slides you have prepared for me.
All right. Are you prepared for the three truths and a slide?
Ready to hear them.
All right. So first truth, Wade wears a cascading wig. Second truth, Wade flirts with a pseudo-British accent. Third truth, Wade dies twice. Fourth truth, Wade performs magic. All right, so let's go through that list again. Wade wears a cascading wig. She flirts with a pseudo-British accent. She dies twice, and she performs magic.
I'm going to say performs magic is the lie.
All right. Magic is the lie, so let's jump into the vortex and see if there are any wizardry hats on the other side.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what waking life we just came back from, but we are back,
this
nevertheless.
Is probably my favorite notes I've ever taken on an episode.
Well, let's just jump straight into the lies. Does Slade wear a cascading wig? The wig game is strong. Does she flirt with a pseudo British accent?
Yes.
How many times does she die?
Well, I only saw, one or two, depending on if you, the second one doesn't count because it's not real. So one?
No, she died twice. Like, she was medically, like, dead twice in the episode.
So she was medically dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Happened, because that was, he could sense when she came back alive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And does Wade perform magic?
I mean, no.
No. Unless you count that wig as magic, she does not.
There was magic in this episode.
But I believe, Kristen, you predicted Wade performs magic as the slide, right?
I think so.
Yeah, chalk it up on the power board there.
A rare win for me. Love it. No. Like a comet. Doesn't come around that often, but
okay, so this world, quick recap. Slade has Regency flashbacks that seem to be written by fan fiction. 10% of the world has psychic powers, but the rules around this are like a bit fuzzy exactly what the powers are. She has a Renfair man crush. And time is weird in this episode. A lot of cuts from day and night. I'm sure we'll get into all that.
And it's like always raining at night. Really coming down. But it doesn't say it's a rain world or anything. So,
all right. So should we kick things off talking about wig game?
Okay, here is... Can I just read you the notes that I wrote about the beginning?
Yeah.
Horse girl energy. Old-timey flashback. Saddle club representation. This man's old-timey mullet says he's bad news. It's an affordable Lee Pace situation. The way he said no harm will come to her so long as he draws breath, he's bad news. Her alarm goes off. She really takes a minute to get to it. And the professor is being rude as they leave again. And that was my notes on the intro.
So in these Regency flashbacks, are these wooden fences meant to be periodic adjacent? Because they are clearly built with modern tools.
Well, and for me, like, the costumes and the wigs for me were very... When your community college theater department is like a cut above, but it is still a community college theater department. I was honestly enjoying how committed she was, really doing her best with the dialogue and pseudo accent. She looked like she was having fun.
Yeah.
And that sure was a wig. I think that's the most wig that wig was the most wig that I've ever seen on the show.
The most wig.
And I'm taking into account, like, the Blue Man Group, only it was yellow. Jerry's, like, face paint. Jerry's, like, cascading.
The Blue Man Group.
Only he was painted with a thin veneer of, like, minion yellow. That was a powerful wig, but this one was more powerful.
Jerry's mullet had, like, the Kubrick, like, framing of, like, you know, where it's big and it's bold and it's, like, perfectly symmetrical, like, in the frame.
This was all over the place. Kind of like if the mascot Gritty had, like, a female counterpart. Okay, Sabrina Lloyd looks nothing like Gritty. It's just the chaos of this wig made me think about Gritty. I don't know what to tell you. But so what happens is she's like, you know, she's doing saddle club, horse girl energy with this guy that's up to no good. Every single thing about this man is negative energy, and not in the fun way, you know, like Phantom of the Opera or, I don't know, Dracula or Mr. Darcy. That's not fair to him to throw him in there. It's, no, and it made me think about Lee Pace in Lord of the Rings, but and then it made me sad that I was looking at whatever that was. But so they're, like, together, they're in love, and he says no harm will come to her as long as he draws breath. So I'm like, oh, this old-timey Wade is gonna die. But his very powerful father is against them.
And you answered the question. So the first thing I wrote in my notes was, how does one take notes on this Regency slide intro? And Kristen, you hit it out of the park. That is exactly how you take notes on
this. I think this was the best intro of Sliders, actually.
When Slade woke up in that bed, I was like, is this supposed to be, like, picturesque, or is this, like, mosquito netting?
And I don't still know.
Like, there was, like, a weird, like, you know, ambiguity there.
She took an obscenely long time to turn off the alarm clock, and I felt seen by that, because I too take an obscenely long time. I just kind of lay there, like, waiting for it to stop.
So our crew is sliding out at 4 a.m. and they're grumpy about the early morning. So grumpy that the professor goes outside and trolls a cow.
Yeah, I was about to say, he yells hamburger at a cow. Like, what are we doing?
And then they do the most blatant off-screen slide yet.
I loved it.
So I think that they show Slade and Rembrandt maybe going in, but the professor and Jerry is... Oh, no. It's like a weird, like, screen effect. Like, they do, like, bubbles. Like, so you're, like, from, like, the portal's point of view for them.
The slide was a little phoned in this week, and that's okay. We need our energy for other things.
I love a coast of a slide because they clearly had some platform that, like, they tucked and rolled into a mat.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't even bother, like, doing the slide. Like, you saw, like, the feet, like, as they were, like, going, like, doing their little tuck and roll.
Yes.
And I was like, this is what I'm here for.
Yeah.
When the budget is so constrained that they can't even show a slide. I love it.
They're preserving their money and energy for other things. Namely, probably paying a guy we're about to see, but we'll get to that.
So then they go to the proper world where most of the world has psychic powers. And we have not hit the opening credits of the show yet.
No!
So, Kristen, is there very much for us to unpack between now and the opening credits?
Let me see here. I wrote, the bad dude is back. It's the way he's wearing a big coat and a scarf on a motorcycle. He's up to no good. He's creepy. He says they were lovers in a past life. Vibes are off. He knows things about them and where they are staying, etc. He has a rose for her. It's giving murderer is what I have written. And I also wrote, I bet she looks like his mom or something. That did not end up being true, but I wanted to put that out there. His eyebrows are also evil. Jerry's hair knows something is very wrong. And this is, okay, we talk a lot about Jerry's hair and its jokes and it's like our favorite thing. I'm not kidding you. And that shot of him looking concerned, I couldn't think of anything else. And I was like, I don't know how his hair looks worried, but it looks worried. He doesn't like it. The vibes are off. Jerry's hair says the vibes are off.
Yeah, the Renfair bro Manson, he has very Christian Bale American Psycho vibes going on this whole episode.
Yeah, there was a couple points where that was exactly what he made me think of.
Can't think of that character's name for the life of me.
Patrick Bateman.
Yes.
It was, yeah. We had, we had Sam's Club Lee Pace energy in the flashbacks. And this is giving great value, Patrick Bateman.
So then,
nothing against the actor, he's doing his best.
So we have opening credits, yeah. And then our heroes go to cross a street, and a well-worn plot point of Sliders is Slade almost getting run over by a car.
Yeah.
So Rembrandt pushes her out of the way. He gets hurt.
In order, this is apparently the Kristen Reed's from her notes app episode.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
I wrote, Isaac Hayes, some technology to do with the moon. Some guy runs over Rembrandt's foot after he pushed Wade out of the way. Various people were not assassinated. and I said Isaac Hayes when I did because I saw his name flash up on the guest star credits. So we were told there was going to be an Isaac Hayes before we saw an Isaac Hayes.
I wish that they buried the lead. Like, they could have like shuffled around the credits to where we could have seen Isaac Hayes first.
Because it was very close after the, yeah.
Yeah. But it was right on top of it. So because people have psychic powers, they've warned JFK, MLK, RFK.
Well, this is just, I noticed it both times. Like, they said Martin Luther King. They did not say Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Just, I don't know. So various people have not been assassinated. They determine this. I really don't know what mining on the moon has to do with anything, but
yeah.
So they got to go get Rembrandt's foot checked out. I wrote big hair nurse, just like a wide barrel curl volume. She had great hair. I really liked it. She proceeded to do a kind of Reiki adjacent thing on his foot. And I think the show wanted us to think it was suspect at first. But it turned out like, no, she's actually doing what she needs to be doing. She was my MVP. She had an aura. I didn't know what was going on with her. I was like, I don't know if she's good. I don't know if she's bad. I'm really digging this actress's performance and her voluminous barrel curls. I love it. And she had good taste, as we will get to.
Yeah. So, jumping ahead on the plot with the nurse, it turns out that Isaac Hayes is the prime oracle. So he's like the number one psychic.
He's the most powerful seer of all the people who can see ahead, right?
And so, but him attempting to run over the heroes was so that Rembrandt would meet the nurse and she would join our crew. So I think that the Prime Oracle should have actually been called the Prime Wingman for Rembrandt.
Yeah. Okay, that reveal at the end, it was very everything happens for a reason in a bad way for me.
I know. I was like,
but
okay.
And there's some, we'll get to it. There's some stuff in the episode that I was like, what? It got dark, but yeah, hey, yeah, we'll have fun.
Some good creepiness.
Yeah.
Like, she had to have been the MVP in the hospital, the nurse, simply for her dialogue with Slade.
Yeah.
Oh, you're new in town? Oh, let me go shopping with you.
I wrote, I love this woman. She has time for nobody, and her hair is big like a Disney princess, and she's flirting with Rembrandt. I mean, she does have time for people, but she doesn't have time for them to be doing clownery. Like, get with the program. She's like, no, I already explained to you what's up. Like, let's keep it moving.
And so then two of our heroes walk out, Rembrandt and the professor. And does anything notable happen to them in the lobby?
Is that where they get arrested?
Yeah.
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 I mean, so they arrest Rembrandt and the professor because in the future they kill Wade. Clearly I wrote, yes, Minority Report.
Oh, by the way, shout out to the prop department. Did you notice anything on the cops' uniforms?
No.
So on the sleeve on the top, they have a pentagram.
No. Come on. Amazing. Amazing.
And their real punishment is an hour worth of paperwork, and then they get to leave.
The Miranda warning. Yeah, so Isaac Hayes has said that they will kill Wade. They're issued a Miranda warning. It is bold of the professor to declare, we've been issued no such thing, because they don't know what it is. So, Miranda warning.
An hour-long Miranda warning.
Oh, and then the way the guy said, I got to get home before midnight, I thought was significant, and then...
And then the next shot is daytime. They're just walking around outside during the day. And I was like, what?
It had me like, I mean, I wrote it down in my notes. I was like, ooh, what happens after midnight? Apparently he just does not want to work a long day. Justifiably wants to be home before midnight.
And so then we get a world dump about how the original seer prevented Lincoln's assassination. And he decreed the first prime oracle. So then we have our... Hairman dudeness, yeah. And another rival seer, like competing on dirty lawn chairs on some dirty steps for Isaac in Hayes.
I wrote, not David Bowie and a lady in a good coat go see Isaac Hayes on some weird steps in the snow. He's going to die tomorrow. Derek lacks discipline and compassion, according to Melanie. Oh, and his name is Derek Bond. And the way that he delivered that in the beginning is exactly what you would think it would be. But also it reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from The Bachelor Extended Universe. And it was on The Bachelorette. Some guy just goes, don't insult my intelligence, Derek. Every single time I hear the name Derek, I think about this and it pleases me. So they both have to like speak to him about which of them... Because he can...
So he's going to die and he has to pass the torch.
But, okay. He claims he doesn't know who to pass it to because he can't see after his death. So then how could he see all the things? Aaron, make it make sense.
Maybe it was just a ceremony. I don't know.
Because didn't he say that he couldn't see what happens after his death?
Yeah,
But it would seem that he saw very much that happens after his death. Otherwise, how does he know that... Wade impacts this at all times vaguely menacing man. Like
there are a number of plot holes. For a world full of psychics, there are a lot of plot holes for this episode.
So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Still fun though.
So the big like arc on the whole episode is this guy Derek Bond, hair man dudeness. He's a bad dude with Patrick Bateman vibes.
Also, he like believes very much in the past life thing, which it's not really explained how that's important to this, but he's supposed to be with Wade. Like he's obsessed with her. That hence the title.
And so he's like, no, you have to stay with me because you balance me. The Prime Oracle said so. Like that's like an ongoing plot point.
I mean, all love to the creators for giving us such a fun show. I don't think they were trying to make a commentary on how it's, you know, always women's job to like balance men, and give them, like lead them. She exists. She has to suffer for his personal growth. I don't know if they're making the statement. I'll make a statement. I was like, but they did actually have her respond to that in some ways that I was like, okay, so this is terrible. The show does not think that this is good, but it kind of, I don't know.
It wasn't quite Nicole Yorkin and Don Prestwich dialogue,
no.
But it was close. It was close enough where it's like, okay, they're giving Slade a voice.
Yeah, it was interesting.
And so then we, in the parking lot, the nurse seer starts asking about Rembrandt. while he's 2 feet away. And they're like, did you clock that?
She can,
like,
do whatever she wants. For some reason, I wrote, actually, I stan, he's doing good evil, meaning I was enjoying his performance being evil. LMAO, Wade has to be in this to teach Derek what he needs to know. Yes, hot psychic making moves on Rembrandt. The fashion oracle, shout out.
Fashion oracle.
Shout out lottery winner's ball. Miss you, Agent Krychek. Wade is looking great. We'll go over that. One of the top looks Sabrina Lloyd has ever had on the show for me. Listen, short 90s women's hair, a journey, a struggle. It's looking great. She looks really good. There was a fashion oracle. She rolled up to that place and the dress was like there just for her in the window for her. It's in the window and then we see it on her. Jerry just sulking in the background. Jerry sulking in the background is very prominent in this episode, and also Jerry sullenly drinking. But yeah, she says something like she hasn't had anything this nice since the lottery winner's ball. Yeah, circle back to it, Queen.
She's like, oh, I like this dress because it reminds me of the one in my dream. Nothing like the dress in the dream.
Well, okay, I think there's red on her garment in the dream, and this dress is red, so they're all it's very paternal, as the professor and Rembrandt are just kind of chilling while she gets ready for her date. Jerry's, well, didn't she declare her love for him in the last episode
for Jerry? What was it, unconditional?
I think that her love for Jerry is kind of like when the portal's just kind of there, like it's there when you need it, like it's just kind of an open-ended offer sort of thing. But
so
this creep comes to get her. She's going on a date with him.
Yeah. So did you write down any notes about their dinner, their first date?
He said he's been in love with her for a very long time. She doesn't really have a reaction to that that maybe is one that would make sense to anybody, but it's Sliders.
And then so she informs him, like, the big plot point from here is that she woke up from the dream. She didn't have the full dream.
I can't for the life of me figure out what having the rest of the dream has to do with.
And he starts twitching, and then the music starts going dum, dum.
Because Isaac Hayes had died. Okay. Also, Jerry's at a bar, depression drinking, and I'm like, he needs to settle down. But also, like, he's a mood. He's giving really good. I don't know. I was really enjoying Jerry O'Connell's performance when he had nothing to do but, like, sit there and look cranky. He was really delivering. The Prime Oracle dies, and Derek proposes.
Yeah, so at the bar, Jerry pouts, the professor shrugs him off, and then they see on TV that Bond, Derek Bond, is now the Prime Oracle.
Yeah, and so, and I will think of him as Bond, Derek Bond, not because of James Bond, but because of, like, that one time that someone asked Aretha Franklin what she thought of Taylor Swift, and she said, great gowns. Beautiful gowns. So like beautiful gowns is the thing that my friend and I say a lot when we're like, yeah, it is what it is. And that's how Bond, Derek Bond is for me.
And so Slade rolls in and she's got bling.
Yeah. Oh, I wrote about the other flashback dream thing, but it might be out of order.
Oh, let's just jump into it. We can just jump straight into it. Oh, no, that's exactly where we're at. The next dream sequence. How she needs to go to the bridge?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the past, some broad says, it's a broad from the past, because I'm in a big referring to women, including myself, as broads era. She's up to no good. You can tell that. I like that about her. She says that, what's Bond, Derek Bond's name in the past? Is it Richard?
Oh, I don't remember.
That he had said to flee. and I wrote, I hope she's just stirring expletive up. And then, yeah, so she tells her to flee, but she has a menacing energy that I was also very voluminous hair, great looks on this woman. They had not been as kind to Sabrina. Is it Sabrina Wells?
Sabrina Lloyd.
Sabrina Lloyd. Why
so
did
it's Wade Wells? And Sabrina Lloyd.
Well, she does a great job of the character, so it became one for me.
It's all sliding.
They weren't doing what they needed to be doing with her wig. This other old timey broad's hair looked better, but that's fine. So yeah, she told Dream Wade to flee, and it's not ominous at all. Then she's talking to this man in present time, and I wrote, oh no, is she explaining something to Jerry? I wrote, Wade's answers are on point, and I'm trying to remember why I wrote that, but
that's her talking to Jerry, because Jerry's like, you're not really going to marry this clown, are you? Is that the exchange you're talking about?
And I mean, that is also how I feel, but she's right to explain things to Jerry in the way that she does. And I think it's Rembrandt who's like, bro, we're tired. She's tired. This is a shot at a good life. Hot to her dude that has a lot of power, wants to her, whatever, you know. Rembrandt surprisingly zen about the whole situation.
Yeah, Rembrandt is the essence of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jerry tries to chaperone her, and she's like, not having it.
But she is telling him that, like, she can't marry him. Like, let's think about this. He tries to get her to give it a day and a half, and he says, I wrote, I'll accept that, I'll honor that, and I wrote, he won't, heart emoji.
Bond, Derek Bond. Can't
Derek
trust
Bond.
Him.
No. Rembrandt is really having to speak to Jerry, like, bro, it's up to her. And he's like, we have to help her. And Rembrandt says, not until she asks. And I was like, on point, Rembrandt.
So I think that the next scene is like what the whole episode was like based around.
Yes.
Where Bond, Derek Bond, does something for Slade.
Yeah.
Do you want to unpack, Kristen, do you want to unpack that? Or
I wrote, LMAO, this creepy apartment, childhood room, bro, no. Big fan of the opera energy. Very ominous lighting. You read my mind to make you happy. How dare you? And she does say, and I'm only being vague because we have a visitor with us in the room, but she straight out says that would be like if he...
violated.
Yep. I was delighted to hear them use that strong of a term for it on the show, because I was like, hey, that's what I was thinking. This man, the nerve, the audacity. She tries to leave and he says, I won't sacrifice our happiness because of one little mistake. Get away from this man.
Gaslighting.
But then in another... Dude, do you guys get it? Or did you have some women work on this? Watching her try to navigate as best she can, I was... Sometimes, Aaron, an uncomfortably real moment will occur to me on this goofy show where there's like murder bees and stuff. You can... And Sabrina Lloyd does a very good job of thinking on her feet. Like, she very quickly realizes, okay, he's not going to let me go this way. I need to keep him calm to avoid something worse.
Just survive.
Yeah. I was like... This is pretty dark, man. I wrote, Wade is trying to navigate as best she can. This made me sad and uncomfortable, but hey, she tried to draw boundaries. And then she makes a call, and I wrote, LOL, like if he's reading her mind, he won't know?
Yeah, and so he recreates her childhood room with a working phone in the room.
Well,
I guess it is. She had a working phone in her childhood, so yeah, I guess it's true to form.
Then, like the crew's in the car. Because she has called them for help. Rembrandt just is. I wrote Rembrandt Murphy's Law, all bangers, and he says, you know, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And his psychic girlfriend is like, sounds pretty rough on your world, man. And she rappels down when they show up to save her. Yes.
Slade's stunt double does extra overtime between horsework, rappelling, like
high point for me. Wade just rappelling down with absolute ease.
In fact, her stunt double was also the first shot. Like, it didn't even properly show her. Like, it was at an angle where you couldn't even, like, really see her, but then you could see her. There, yeah.
Then a bunch of people show up, which how many... I mean, how many times could a scene be summed up as then a bunch of people show up? This man, once
spearheaded by Bond, Derek Bond.
It's the audacity. Bond, Derek Bond says, "You violated my trust, Wade." I was like, "Oh, go sit down." And then I flashed back to when he had said, "As long as I have breath, I will protect you." And I wrote, "Maybe she personally will suffocate him." In the dream flashback.
Yeah.
We see.
So it's the next shot is a Regency flashback.
Yeah.
So this show is pretty jarring on, like,
wait, and hold
transitions.
On. She's not asleep, is she?
No, it just jumps straight into the flashback.
I love it, as
and
it
so
should. Perfect.
I was like,
no notes.
Wait, what?
I am so sorry. I laughed. The way a rifle, like, looms up from the bottom of the screen.
And by the way, rifles back then, not accurate from that far away.
I was like, no, because it's like that part of Monty Python and the Holy Grail where the guy's like turning the page and then you just see a little monster hand creep up. Presumably it's supposed to be sad. So the father is too powerful because he was, so it, the dad either did it himself or I still really wanted it to be a plot twist where Bond, Derek Bond of the past, vintage Bond Derek Bond actually did it himself.
Vintage Bond Derek.
Yeah, if the listeners are still with us, like, truly, I just be saying words. That's what I do. But no, like, his father did it, or maybe he hired that other broad to do it. But someone just wasn't having it, told her to, like, flee that direction so that she could be more easily shot. Why the woman didn't just do this herself earlier, we don't know, but it's fine. We have a very solid, oh, she dies in his arms. We have a good man screaming no from above shot.
Yeah, the con shot.
Yeah.
Con!
Well, I thought of, there's certainly one in Revenge of the Sith, and hey, let's make it three times. I've mentioned Phantom of the Opera this episode. In the really bad sequel to it, Love Never Dies, that also, I mean, it, spoiler, it like does, got a woman dying in a dude's arms and then he screams no at the sky. And it is very important to scream no at the sky. Hey.
Cinema. Mulleted cinema.
We're not equal, Aaron, until there's the same amount of scenes of women screaming no at the sky when a dude died in their arms. And that's only, I mean, like, that's only talking about straight couples. Like, basically, screaming no at the sky is not just for men. It needs to be for everybody, for everybody in all relationships. It's cathartic. Oh, at what point does she say you can't force people to love you? Not even God can do that.
No, I was like, whoa. That, wow, that...
Oh, yeah. She's in the room. She's back in the room. I wrote all bangers.
It was a great line.
Yeah, good,
I was like, wow, where did that come from?
Good Jerry drinking shots. We're kind of intercutting. He's just still in a bar somewhere drinking. Then she is sulking in her childhood room, as I would do. Some man comes. I wrote, who is this man? Aaron, who is this man?
I don't know, but he's like an assistant, but he shows up in a couple of shots. I feel like he's in other episodes also.
She was claiming that he was like above him, and he's like, yeah, that's a name only. And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
I was
is
this the president? I don't. And then a totally non-sus prescription comes through. Is it a rescue note? It's raining a lot on this world. Yeah, and the next part would have us believe that she took pills to bring about the end of her own life. What a turn. Oh,
yes, but before all of this, they show the bar where Jerry's drinking, and a psychic nurse comes in, and she's like, oh, I used to be roommates with the president's speechwriter. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, right.
And then the crew's like, oh, well, let's go talk to your speechwriter friend. We're just going to go leave. And Jerry, you stay here in case Slade tries to call. And Jerry's like, but I really want to come.
Call
like,
the bar specifically.
Yeah. No, Jerry, you stay here because Slade might call.
That's right. Yeah. And she does.
So she takes the prescriptions off camera.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Yeah.
And she's lying in bed with her final breaths.
Going fast. Talking to Jerry. I wrote, LOL, how did Jerry get in? Because one minute he's listening to her sounding like she's dying on the phone. And then the next minute he's there with paramedics, which to me implies he thinks it's in enough time to save her.
So in this world, there's seers and then there's doers.
Yeah.
Jerry is definitely Jerry's the latter category.
I wrote variation on LOL very, very much here. I wrote, I hope this was some Romeo and Juliet type prescription. I mean, I had a feeling it would be because I was like, I know Sabrina Lloyd's not leaving the show yet. I did write, he's petting her hair.
Oh.
Didn't really say that. Take note of that.
And so Jerry's like, runs up to the people, make the call. I'm going up there because I say so. And he walks in and he yells at Derek Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, and by the way, I'm taking Slade. And picks her up and picks just up walks
her body.
Out.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm just carrying this body out of here.
I mean, he does it with the same energy. He was like, no, we don't have time for this in the execution chamber. A lot of absolute hilarity in very dark situations. I wrote, why is she on a blanket? Because she's cuddled. Presumably dead, but cuddled, dare I say, swaddled, as though she's, you know, about to come back to life any minute, which, spoiler, folks, she is. And
Jerry has this urgency. Like, if he wasn't urgent about this, this whole plan would have failed.
Yeah.
And so they get back, they get to the ambulance, mm-hmm. psychic nurse runs out, and it turns out it was a whole switcheroo, the whole ruse of her knowing the speechwriter for the president. Is not true.
It's more complicated than it needs to be, but it's still good. She had a plan. It worked. Bond, Derek Bond senses a disturbance in the force.
Yes. Oh, that's right. So when she comes back alive, Bond, Derek Bond's like, we need to get to action.
Yeah. And it's honestly a pretty good fake out because I was like, oh, he learned nothing. Because he had just given a sweet... When Jerry just sort of... pushed past him with minimal effort and took Wade out. He then just kind of stood in the hallway monologuing about how, wow, I've really learned from this. And it's cool because when women die for some dude to learn things, that's good, you know, whatever. But he's kind of like, oh, wow, I guess that was what Isaac Hayes meant.
And then, so Bond, Derek Bond rolls up. And Kristen, were you surprised with what Bond, Derek Bond had to announce to the group?
Actually, yes, I was. I'll say it.
Yeah.
And I also wrote, he's still in his scarf, but he came to say goodbye and beg forgiveness.
Big forgiveness.
I wrote, okay, what? The Prime Oracle had a plan. This was lame. You don't want to meet him again. He sucks. He could see where they were going. Episode.
And my favorite line from Bond, Derek Bond, is in this scene where he tells Wade, we're both free now.
like, what? No, I circled back around to actually being a fan because it's the audacity. And this actor goes for it. He's having a great time. Not a flop among the supporting cast in this episode, I would say.
Yeah. And then what about the very, very last shot of the episode?
Well, it's
after our heroes slide out and it zooms in on Bond, Derek Bond.
He could see where they were going.
And then fade to black.
Aaron, does that mean literally anything?
Yeah, so the next episode is not worthy. Like that world, like I don't understand like why he would have that same reaction. I feel like his world is more fantastical than the next one that's coming up.
Well, because it wasn't. Oh no, I could see where they're going and it's going to set about a chain of reactions that could bring about the next apocalypse. No, it's very... Season 2 has had a lot of... It ends on a very strange note. I'm not sure how we're meant to feel about it, but okay. That's how it ended.
That's a good point because... I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but in a couple of episodes... In several episodes, we're going to kick off the first, like... like black oil, like multiple.
You had said an arc was coming, and yeah, I wondered if this coming. Was part of it.
No, so if they had this episode right before that arc, where the next episode was the arc, that would make so much more sense.
Yeah. And
sometimes they record things and they air them out of order, so right, maybe right. that's what happened. But it's his world is more fantastical than the next one, so.
Right.
But yeah, so that's it for my notes. Did you have any other notes or?
I mean, I don't have any more notes, but just so the listeners know, we're recording this live again. It's great fun. As you can see, I'm still really sitting with, some stuff after this week. Some stuff that really impacted me. Mm.
Tell us.
I might even say that it made a difference. it's time for Sliding Made a Difference. You know, in between the time of watching this and recording, I did not look up the film Minority Report on Wikipedia to see if it is adapted from a short story that was written prior to Sliders. I get the feeling that it might be, but that doesn't matter. I'm just going to still say it and make the claim that Minority Report simply doesn't happen. If this episode of television doesn't happen, and then the sort of Tom Cruise renaissance of that era doesn't happen, and then that one video of him,
of who?
Of Tom Cruise. Please, lawyers, don't come for me. We're a family here. We're a humble podcast. but the Scientology Church video, it leaked. And I just think that there would not have been the interest in that that there was if Tom hadn't had such a powerful career resurgence in that era. Like, it was War of the Worlds. It was
Oprah's Couch.
Yeah, Minority Report. All the things. And then that led, if that video hadn't leaked and been so impactful, Jerry O'Connell would not have given Funny or Die. I remember where I was. It was January in New York. He wouldn't have given Funny or Die the best video that Funny or Die has ever had, where he too is wearing a black turtleneck and he's doing... It's powerful acting he does on the show, but he's doing the best acting he's ever done. I recommend you stopping what you're doing. Go Google Jerry O'Connell, Funny or Die Scientology right now. Or actually, maybe I have to cut that out.
I haven't seen it.
Jerry O'Connell, Funny or Die Tom Cruise. Google that. Really Google that. And just sit with it. It was from a simpler time when jokes didn't have to be as complicated. He just does a good impression, and it's really funny, and Jerry O'Connell has the range. And I'm going to leave it there.
Thank you. I feel much more centered. We are on the social medias.
In theory.
So we are on Instagram. We're on Twitter.
If any of you slide into the DMs with a meme request, listen. I will do it. Nothing motivates me like a request to make something absolutely based, cursed. The kids call it all kinds of things. But I had a friend send me something the other day because we were talking. Then I disappeared for 10 minutes and sent her a meme that I made just for her. And she sent me a screenshot of a Tumblr post. I am going somewhere with this. That it says, the best thing about internet friends is when they disappear for 10 minutes and then just send you either the best or most cursed image that they just made that you've ever seen in your life. And Generation S, I will do that for you. With joy, with gladness. So there's that.
And I thought of an idea for a Twitter post the other week.
Oh.
Which is probably the most outdated phrase ever. But
it's very of the moment. What was the idea? Can you share it with us?
I'm going to take one of our quotes and make some art out of it.
Oh, right.
And post it on the twits.
Yeah.
So,
because there should be more art of Sliders, I think.
That's true. It's like feeding a CGI shark that's circling the What building was that in San Francisco?
Was this Transamerica? It was the Transamerica building. Yeah. Well, the shark is important to our identity, to our logo, because we saw that shot and I started yelling.
That shot was special.
Yeah. I love that shark. He's in my heart. Think of him always.
All right. Well, Kristen, when can people catch another episode of Three Truths and a Slide?
You know what? They can catch us on the flip slide.